who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and while they looked on, was taken up into heaven, that he might grant unto us to be sharers in his own divinity. That is the Ascension-tide preface that is just before the canon at Holy Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Patrick, who I mentioned before, the great apostle of Ireland, was a great missionary bishop who converted the whole Emerald Isle away from paganism by defeating the horrible religion of the Druids. St. Patrick, it is said, consecrated 350 bishops. He erected 700 churches and ordained more than 5,000 priests. St. Patrick was resolute and most steadfast. He was a bishop who established monastic discipline in a pagan land. This apostle to the Irish established also many churches where literally hundreds of thousands of persons were baptized. St. Patrick converted kings and princes and turned pagan princesses into consecrated virgins. He converted the worshippers of idols and the sun and impure things into the worshippers of the one true God in three divine persons. It has also been reported that St. Patrick performed more than 1,000 miracles, including raising nearly 40 people from dead to life. St. Patrick once observed, quote, "The Lord hath given to me the power of working miracles among a barbarous people. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have raised from the dead bodies that have been buried for many years. But I beseech you," he continues, "let no one believe that for these or the like works I am to be at all equaled with the apostles or with any perfect man, since I am humble and a sinner and worthy only to be despised." Unquote. When St. Patrick came to the ancient town in Ireland, the saint prophesied how great a city this small village would one day become. The pagan king in that area of Ireland had just lost his son, the prince, to death. The king was filled with great sorrow over the death of his son, but his sorrow only increased when the dead body of his daughter, the princess, was found on the edge of a riverbed. She had drowned while attempting to bathe. The bodies of the king's two children were laid out. Tombs were prepared for both according to pagan customs. But at this most sorrowful time, the pagan king heard the rumor that a very powerful wonder worker, namely Patrick of Armagh, who in the name of the unknown God had raised many people from the dead, that he had arrived in the village. Pagan king called for Patrick to come and visit his court, and the king promised that he, his nobles, and his whole city would be baptized into the new faith if his two children were restored to life. St. Patrick, seeing a great opportunity for an increase of souls for Christ and Holy Church, raised both to life. By this miraculous resuscitation, this physical resurrection of the prince and princess from death, the spiritual resurrection of the whole area from the darkness of paganism and idolatry was accomplished. Their society became elevated. Their culture was lifted up from the degrading depths that the devil and paganism had placed it. And that temporary resurrection of the bodies of the prince and princess, for they would die eventually again, gave a promise that the good Lord could give them eternal life in heaven and the resurrection of their own bodies on Judgment Day. After the raising of this royal brother and royal sister, Catholic churches were built in thanksgiving to the one true God and three divine persons, and also in thanksgiving to God's mighty instrument, namely St. Patrick. And it's interesting that the name of that princess who was resurrected by the miracle performed by God through St. Patrick, the name of that princess was Dublina. And this is how the present city of Dublin is given that name. On another occasion, a band of men who hated St. Patrick tried to trick the apostle of Ireland. An evil man named Melchadus and his companions had placed on their heads certain diabolical signs showing their devotion to Satan. They plotted to mock St. Patrick. They covered up one of their companions with the black cloak as if he were dead. Though pretending to be a corpse, the man was actually in perfect health. He was placed on a couch and laid out in preparation for burial. The men then sent for St. Patrick, asking him to raise the covered-up man from the dead. But this was a fatal mistake. St. Patrick told them that it was by deceit that they had declared their companion dead. And disregarding their fake pleas for help, Patrick went on his way, praying for the souls of those who had tried to mock the true faith. The plotters then uncovered the cloak from their friend and found that he was no longer faking death, but was actually dead. Sorrowful and truly repentant, the men chased after St. Patrick. They fell to their knees. They begged forgiveness and help. The men then obtained pardon and were literally baptized by the Apostle of Ireland. And at their plea for their deceased friend, St. Patrick also revived the dead man to life. The same once evil Melchadus became not only a great penitent, but also a holy bishop who worked many miracles, and he would also become a canonized saint of Holy Mother Church. Again, we see the power of the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection miracles of St. Patrick in lifting up society out of the hands of Satan and into the hands of Christ. You know, in the spiritual life, one must begin with a very simple principle. You must determine up from down. Heaven is literally upwards. It's above us, while hell is literally below us. In the supernatural heights above, the Holy Ones experience the beatific vision, a perfect happiness of seeing the good Lord face to face. But while in the abyss below, the damned experience an eternal misery and despair, being in the very center of the earth, that central point in the universe as taught by St. Thomas Aquinas, which is furthest away from the heavenly heights. But having determined up from down, we must also realize that there are two movements always present in creation. These movements of either going upwards towards the heights or the movement downwards towards the depths are always present. Since the physical resurrection of Christ and the glorious ascension of the sacred humanity to the highest heavenly throne above all creation, there has been an elevation, a lifting up of humanity. Though he is true God, we can also say that our dearest Lord is one of us, a true man, with a glorified human soul, body, and blood, and it now reigns over all creation. That sacred humanity of Christ reigns over all angels, all men, and all creatures. As the great theologian named St. Maximus of Turin teaches, quote, "There is an upward movement in the whole of creation, each element raising itself to something higher," unquote. And because of the resurrection and the ascension of the Son of God and the Son of Mary, a good thief ascends to paradise. Holy souls in the limbo of the fathers are lifted out of that abyss. Our Lord has taken captives of the Old Testament imprisoned below and captivated them by his divine love, and they follow him to the heights of heaven. And as we know from the sacred scriptures, the inerrant scriptures, after Christ's holy death on Good Friday, the Bible records that men once buried in the ground and around Jerusalem were now seeing walking upright and witnessing to the coming resurrection of Christ. This upward motion caused by the physical resurrection and, yes, ascension of our dearest Lord also elevates whatever person, whatever family, whatever society or institution that it touches. True Christian culture is an elevated culture where every aspect of human life is lifted up. The music is of far higher quality, appealing to the higher faculties in man. The architecture soars upwards. The literature is pure, and it's inspiring. The high dignity of man is acknowledged. Better legislation is written by lawmakers. Courts are more just. Schooling is aimed towards the soul and not just towards the body. Idol worship and the worship of the dumb beasts immeasurably below man is replaced by the worship of the one true God in three divine persons. Having received the grace and benefits of Christ's passion, His death, His resurrection, and yes, His ascension through holy baptism, Christians now seek to live a different life. It is a resurrected life. The old Adam and his rebellious behaviors are buried, and the new Adam is risen within us. Base and degrading actions should find no place in one who lives a new elevated life. With all this being said, there's also another motion present in creation, and it's a motion downward. A downward movement. Satan and his demons seek to drag down the human race, and they employ a gravitational force, if you will, which keeps men earthbound. Modern science, modern laws, modern arts, modern education, modern music, modern literature, modern entertainments, by and large, belittle mankind, treating us as if we were no more than some upgraded beast, just a bunch of molecules, solely meant to enjoy earthly sensual pleasures. Why would we let ourselves or even our children be entertained with the rubbish that the world offers us? Our culture has truly become a cesspool of moral filth that appeals only to the basest instincts in man. Human life is cheap, and it's been downgraded to the level of a beast. Human dignity is forgotten or ignored as we forget that our God, our Savior, and our brother in the flesh reigns in heaven and is King of all creation, and we are called to join Him upon our own thrones. But despite this downward movement, the message of the bodily resurrection and the glorious ascension of Christ still has extraordinary appeal to men. Our Lord has literally risen physically from the dead, and He is elevated on high, and He calls us to join Him in the heavenly heights above with the angels next to us. Modern culture, modern science, and modern ideologies have failed mankind. They have degraded us, they have demeaned us, making us inglorious as opposed to being glorious. An upward movement is an answer to those who are in despair, to the downtrodden and the wretched. The thought of rising to new heights and reigning above upon a throne brings us hope. Christ's bodily resurrection and His glorious ascension proves that He is the one, the only one sent by God, and that all that He has taught, everything that He has taught, and all that His Catholic Church teaches must be true. He calls us to join Him above, so let us start to climb, using the cross as our ladder. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.